Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
So, I've been thinking about something since last Sunday when John shared the morning message, and I just couldn't wait to share that with you this morning. John started out last week by sharing a podcast that he was listening to that discussed the intricacies of string theory. In case you forget what he said, this is what Wikipedia describes as string theory. String theory is a theoretical framework in which point-like particles of particle physics are replaced by one-dimensional objects called strings. String theory describes how these strings propagate through space and interact with each other. In my last sermon, I began talking about a podcast that I listened to, which discussed ice cream flavors and rom-coms. I choose not to criticize myself, which as an Enneagram 1, and if you don't know what an Enneagram is, let me know when you want to get to coffee. I'll talk to you about that. But as one who identifies as an Enneagram 1, not criticizing myself is really, really good. I'm not going to criticize my choice of podcasts. Instead, I am going to choose to marvel at the wonder of our God, who can use two very different people with very different podcast choices to give a message of God's love and grace. Today, we're going to use the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. In a minute, I'll read it, and so I invite you to open up so you can read along with me if you'd like. After I read the passage, we're going to look at a few other scripture passages, and then we'll try to figure out how this impacts us today. We're going to do all this within the space of time it takes the kids to go that way around the church building, sing a few songs, listen to a lesson, come back and sit quietly with us as we finish out the rest of the morning. So, let's start with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, before we spend a lot of time in that passage, I want us to take a look at three other scripture passages that go along with the lectionary readings. For those of you who may be newer to LBIC, we've been using the lectionary as our guide for the scripture we'll preach from each week. The lectionary is basically a selection of scripture passages laid out in a three-year cycle. The Sunday readings offer four selections, one from the Old Testament, one from Psalms, one from the Gospels, and one from the New Testament. The organization of these passages is based on the two major Christian seasons, Advent and Christmas, and Lent and Easter. And the rest of the year is called Ordinary Time, which is where we are now. So while these major seasons pay attention to the extraordinary things that happen around the life of Jesus, in Ordinary Time we give our attention to the formation, devotion, ministry, and mission of our lives on a daily basis. The Old Testament passage for today is one of sadness. For it's the story of Adam and Eve found in Genesis 3. God is looking for Adam and Eve in the garden, and they're hiding from him. For they've eaten of the forbidden fruit, and they're ashamed. We aren't going to spend much time on this, but it's important to pay attention to as we look at the other passages. And I think it suffices to say this is when it all falls apart. Adam and Eve were in communion with God. They were walking in the garden with God. But in eating of the fruit, they've broken the relationship, that precious relationship they had with God. Moving on to Psalm 130, we hear words of repentance. I read this earlier, and the psalmist cries out to the Lord, begging for forgiveness. And as we said a few weeks ago, because of that, we have the blessing of living after the resurrection. We know the story of Jesus. We know that God offers forgiveness and reconciliation of that broken relationship through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The next passage is in Mark 3. Here, people are becoming so threatened and upended by who Jesus is that they begin to wonder if he's demon-possessed. Jesus goes on to say, "A house divided cannot stand. Both God and Satan cannot reign in him." I'm quite sure if we took a little more time to unpack this, we would find a lot more in this scripture passage alone. But at a minimum, we hear the words of Jesus, and he reminds us that if we choose to follow him, we must be in union with him. We need to follow his teachings, follow his leading. Certainly, we are going to falter, but we must have a posture of union with God. So as I see it, these lectionary passages actually give us the full gospel message in a nutshell. In Genesis, we see sin, what we sometimes call the fall of man, and the breaking of the relationship between God and his people. In Psalms, we see repentance and forgiveness. And in Mark, we see that Jesus shows us the way to live, but it must be in union with God, not divided between God and the powers of this world or other powers. Which is what takes us back to 2 Corinthians, the passage that we're going to look at today. I believe this passage offers us much hope, but it's also a call to notice how our faith impacts hope. Hope in the midst of struggles, and hope in what God will bless us with in days to come. The second letter to the Corinthians was written after Paul had gone through some challenging times. He doesn't say specifically what they were, and of course different commentators have suggestions as to what that might be, but I don't think it really matters. What is important to note is that in the verses preceding this, Paul has said things about being pressed down, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. And that's where we pick up at verse 13, where he says, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." This is referring back to Psalm 116. And of course, he doesn't quote the whole psalm right here, but he doesn't really need to, because in this one sentence, it's a reflection of the whole psalm. He has remained faithful, and now he speaks praise to God. This isn't just Paul reciting a random scripture that he learned in Hebrew school so that he could earn a piece of candy. This is a song that he knew, that he wove into his prayers, and he wove into his life. Listen as I read part of this psalm. "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Paul sees himself in this psalm, and he says, with the same spirit of faith that psalmist had, I was desperate. I was in despair. But through his mighty power, God rescued and saved me. This is Paul's story. Look what he says in verse 13. With the same spirit of faith, we believe and we speak. He says, I have the same spirit of faith the psalmist did, and I know the one who raised Jesus will also raise us. And Paul is able to give praise to God. And he knows that as he gives praise to God, it will impact others. The more others are able to praise God, the more grace people will experience. The more grace, the more thanksgiving. The more thanksgiving, the more glory to God. Paul is sharing all of this with the Corinthians so that they can see and hear. Yes, he did suffer, but he did not lose heart, as some are accusing him of. He stayed faithful, and he's able to offer gratitude and praise to God for his saving power through it all. Paul goes on to say, yeah, things are hard, but what goes on outwardly is not a reflection of what goes on inwardly. Through these hardships and challenges and persecution and the literal fading of our bodies, we are being renewed inwardly. But being renewed inwardly is not something we can cause to happen. We can be open to it. We can pray for it. We can pay attention when it's happening to us, but it is the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that transforms us and changes us and renews us. And if we are faithful, this outward stuff, though it does matter, will ultimately be outweighed by the eternal glory that is yet to come. The outward stuff does matter, but ultimately it will be outweighed by the eternal glory we have not yet seen. There are two things I'd like to say about suffering. First, there is no value in comparing suffering. As Brené Brown said in her book Rising Strong, empathy is not finite and compassion is not a pizza with 8 slices. When you practice empathy and compassion with someone, there is not less of these qualities to go around. There is more. Love is the last thing we need to ration in this world. The refugee in Syria doesn't benefit more if you conserve your kindness only for her and withhold it from your neighbor who's going through a divorce. Yes, perspective is critical, but hurt is hurt. And every time we honor our own struggle and the struggles of others by responding with empathy and compassion, the healing that results affects us all. In other words, yes, Paul's struggles may have seemed bigger and harder, but that does not negate the struggles that you are going through. And it's also important to note that the cause of suffering in and of itself is not what brings God's glory. Not the illness, not the broken relationship, not the grief, not the job loss, not the depression, not whatever it is that you're suffering. That is not what reveals God's glory. It is the deliverance, the power, the renewal that happens within, both during and after the context of that suffering. That is where God's glory is revealed. I'm a big fan of Paul. I like the way he writes. He humors me sometimes. But I'll admit, I read this passage a few times before I got the comparison that he was making in verse 17. He says, "Our light and momentary troubles are achieving an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Often we think of light as good and something heavier as negative. But Paul flips this, and he says, the suffering we have today is light in comparison to the heaviness of the goodness and the glory we will experience. Picture carrying our suffering. Maybe it takes one hand. Maybe it weighs us down. Maybe it brings us to our knees. But compare that to something that is virtually impossible to carry. It is so heavy. And that is the eternal riches our Father in heaven has waiting for us. One commentator summarized this passage this way. He said, "This is Paul's response to God's presence in his life. The power of God that sustains Paul in his weakness causes him to remain confident in his proclamation and in his suffering for the sake of others. All that God has done and is doing through the adversities of his life leads him to focus on all that God will do, which in turn gives him the confidence to endure the daily consequences of sin. This is the cycle of faith." This cycle of faith is what the psalmist was talking about. I've seen what the Lord has done, and it helps me to remain confident in what he will do and to speak praise to God. And it speaks to the hope that we have. This is why we do not lose heart. When everything may be falling apart around us, we already know that God is true to who he says he is, and he will be. And that ultimate eternal glory is the hope and the promise of that which is unseen and that which is yet to come. Every month in my staff report to leadership team, there's a question I have to answer. The question is, was there any significant God moments where God showed up in your life or ministry in a special way? There are some months I don't even have to think about it. It's almost like I've been waiting to share a moment. Other months, it takes a little longer. Sometimes because the God moment has been complex, or it's been maybe a little bit more personal than I want to share. But other times, it just takes a little bit longer to remember. Not because God moments haven't happened, but because my eyes have not been fixed on those moments. I may have seen it in the moment. I may have recognized a little bit of inward renewal, but I didn't fix my eyes on it long enough for it to seep into my soul. Paul has said, "I will remain faithful, and if I will," no, Paul has said, "God will remain faithful, and if he will, then what is to come will be amazing." And the way I know God will be faithful is the inward renewal he's doing in me. I imagine that most of us need to pay a little more attention to those God moments, those unseen things going on, those moments of grace in our lives. Because when we do this, renewal does two things. It clears our vision to see more of God, and it's a sign of the fulfillment of his promises to come. We do have to fix our eyes on him and see the work he's doing. Friends, what are your eyes fixed on? Is it the problems or the suffering? Or is it on the inward renewal and the promises of God and the things yet to come? I think this short passage could be divided into two sections: how our faith impacts others and how our faith impacts ourselves. Because Paul has had the same spirit of faith as the psalmist, he's remained faithful, God delivered him, and now he speaks praise of God, which will impact the faith of others. And I know it sounds funny to say our faith will impact our faith, but as Paul said, we have seen the work of God in our lives, and as we encounter God, it changes us on the inside. And this change helps us to see and believe even more clearly the promises to come. Our faith and attention to our faith, attention to the work that God is doing, will grow our faith. I want to close this morning by reading this passage again, but this time I'm going to use the Message version of the Bible, because it's my hope that the language used in this version might be a little bit easier for you to remember. As you head into this next week, may it be full of faithfulness and hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. We're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, "I believed it, so I said it," we say what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you, alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. As you go today, may you have the same spirit of faith as the psalmist did, so that you can remain faithful and speak praise to God, and share these words of hope and praise with those around you, reminding them of God's faithfulness. And as you remain faithful, even though you may endure suffering, may you be attentive to the inward renewal that the Holy Spirit is doing in you. And may that give you hope in the unseen things to come, and in the lavish celebration that is being prepared for us. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, I confess, sometimes I get pretty caught up in my day-to-day life. I forget to pay attention to the inward renewal that you're doing in me, and I forget to focus on the promise of the lavish celebration that is yet to come. But through your grace and your love, and your Holy Spirit working in us, you prompt us and you remind us. So we confess, Lord, the times that we forget, and we give you praise for the times that you remember. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.